Thank you, sketch team. I thought that was really nicely done. Eugene never thought of entering the full-time ministry. You are so good. And really appreciate what two ladies shared concerning their lives, how they are seeking to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. And, you know, it's important to be able to learn good lessons, principles that you want to hold to as your foundations, things that you would learn in order to grow as a servant of the Lord. And I really appreciate what was shared, even as you look at the life of Henry and how he began to establish good understanding lessons from his parents, from others, that would really determine how he would want to live his life and how he would seek to serve the Lord. And I think each and every one of us, by faith, have been called to live for the Lord, to do something. I mean, I appreciate what D.L. Moody said. I mean, you got to think big. Do something big for the Lord. And I think it was so convincing, you know. Everybody said, okay, let's... But I think that, you know, sometimes we tend to think too little of ourselves. In our small little corner, we think that that's it. This is what God has called me to do, and that's it. I don't think so. I think God has called us to do great things for Him. And I think it's because we have a great God. And if we can learn what it means to have that kind of faith to believe in this great God, we can do so much more for Him. Today I was just talking to somebody, and he was, you know, someone who is going through, you know, midlife. I wouldn't say crisis, but midlife. And asking, what is the significance of life? What is the significance of my life? You know, I have family, I have my work, and what's that? I mean, he's serving, but he's looking for greater significance. And my challenge is, you know, significance is something that cannot be found within yourself. Significance is found in others, in the needs of others. What I'm trying to say is that God has called us to reach out, to minister to so many others who are in great need. And that is where you find that significance maybe God has called you to minister to. For me, it is the young adults ministry, it is the church ministry, it is the work of missions. And, you know, I find so great significance, such great significance in doing the Lord's work. It's not about myself. It is about the Lord and His work. And, you know, that was something that I wrote to this person. I hope that he will find that significance too. Well, find that significance. You know, there's so much that we can possibly do for the Lord. And yet at the same time, we are only, you know, caught up with our own little corner, our own little self. And, you know, we paint ourselves into a corner and we really don't know where to go beyond this. So I hope that we will learn what it means to serve the Lord. Well, last week we were looking at how even as we run this race, even as we are called to minister, and there will be times in which we need to learn lessons where we need to be trained. We talked about this whole idea of the chastisement of the Lord, and the chastening of the Lord involves training, involves us being instructed. And it's important. There are times, of course, we also need to be rebuked, to be chastised, to sometimes go through affliction so that we will learn important lessons. And so that we will learn what it means to live our lives right for the Lord. So I really appreciate how Ellen was just sharing about how there are times when you serve the Lord and sometimes you tend to think that you know this is the way. And, you know, along the way, we need to be corrected. And it's, you know, for me, many, many times I've been corrected. And I learn from it. And I grow from it. And sometimes we would rather not go through such correction. And frankly, you know, if we just go about our own thinking, our own ways, then you will never learn. You are always about yourself. If somebody doesn't correct you or to tell you, this is the way to go. And you know what? We will just continue doing what we think it is the right thing, is the right way. And you know what? We are no better. So it's important for us to learn from the Lord, important lessons, and to be corrected along the way. Okay? Now, let's go on to verse 12. Yet at the same time, we recognize that there will be times in which we can truly become discouraged. Okay? And how do we respond to these challenges, to chastisement and the correction that sometimes we will experience along the way? Okay, verse 12, it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know, when I read this, I somehow thought of amen. You know, the hands that hang down, and, you know, and sometimes, when you know, the whole idea here is that you become discouraged. You become down. You become weak, the feeble knees. Now, let me try and explain this in connection now. There is the word therefore. And the word that is used in a Greek is, the usual word is this word un, okay? Which means therefore. But the word that is used here is the word dio. Not bio, okay? Dio. And the idea here is that it is really made up of two words. One is called dia, and then the other is called hos. Right? And what it's trying to bring across here is that one has to do with because of, and the other word really has to do with which or therefore. So one has to do with what is already said, and one has to do with looking ahead as a response or follow through. So it's a little stronger word than the normal un. And if we have been through this or experienced what has been just said, I mean, what we have learned that we are challenged to lay aside every weight and sin. Let us run the race, not to become weary and discouraged. Not to be discouraged by the chastening of the Lord. Right? This is what we have learned. And because of these things, we need to follow through. Therefore. So it's important that we just don't learn. We need to follow through. That's what this word dio is talking about. There must be a follow through. There must be a therefore. What is it that you are seeking to do? Right? Now, one possible response, of course, is to end up being discouraged because of being chastened and so on and so forth. Well, you know, we don't want to end up being, you know, the hands. That means it comes to a point, why is he describing it in the physical way where you talk about hands which hang down, right, and the feeble knees? And this is something that is, you know, the brethren are experiencing. Okay? Well, that's something that we don't want to end up with. And what if we do? The challenge is given that we want to be strengthened. Strengthen the hands which hang down. You want to find that strength. Okay? Now, this word strength, so we see weakened hands, we see feeble feet, and he talks about this idea of strength. Now, this word strength is where you get the word orthopedic. Okay, it is actually a medical word, right? And the idea of orthos or ortho, okay, here the word is onotuo, okay? The idea here is to straighten, right? It's something that is bent, then you straighten. Something that, so it talks about the feeble feet. Okay, so like sometimes you have this idea of a club feet. You know what, club feet? Right? It's not feet that go clubbing or it's club feet means, you know, they are bent, especially babies. And the important thing is to see how it can be straightened. So there are times when we need to find that strength to, you know, deal with. There are times when we feel wearied, we feel feeble. Then we need to find that strength to straighten the knees, to lift up the hands. You know, we don't want to end up being discouraged. Many people have ended up being discouraged. And we don't want to end up like that. I mean, Aline, you were corrected a number of, you know, along the way, many times as you interacted. Do you feel discouraged? Initially, right? Because you didn't know how things were done and you were trying to find your way. And sometimes we tend to think, okay, because you've done it this way professionally, this is how we would do it. But you realize that along the way, the way we do things in church is very different. And it's important for us to understand why we're doing what we're doing. That's very key. In any ministry that you are involved in or you seek to be part of, you must understand why do we do what we do. If not, we will always be clashing. Because as a church, as leaders, we have a certain way of doing things and we have biblical principles as to why we do what we do. But if you want to be involved and you want to bring in your own ideas, you'll find that we will end up always being on on the wrong side of things, and we will always end up, you know, not seeing eye to eye. And we need to be corrected, and we need to say, okay, you know what, let's align ourselves to how we see things and do things in the context of the church. Even the student pastors, you know, they've been serving in church for many years. But once you take that role of a student pastor and you'll be part of the pastoral team, then you've got to see things not only as one, you know, part of, as a member of the church, but you've got to see it as leaders. And they begin to see things and they need to be corrected also. Many, many things. So that we will learn, to see eye to eye. So why we do what we do. Now, not everybody is going to appreciate why Bethany does what it does. Why do the leaders do what they do? And sometimes they don't understand, they don't want to understand, and you choose not to appreciate what? Well, I mean, then by all means find a church where you can appreciate where the church is really going, or at least you align yourself with. But it's important for us to understand why we do what we do, so that when we do things, things are aligned. We don't have to end up being discouraged, being wearied as a result. Okay, so this is important. Now, these are a series on imperatives. So that's why I was talking about how it is a follow-through. And what the author does is that he gives a series of commandments, what we call imperatives. Right? And one of them, straight away, he says, strengthen the hands that hang down. Strengthen. The word strengthen is an imperative. Meaning, you must do it. Don't remain in your weakened state. Feeble feet. Hands that hang down. Okay? The next one he says in verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. Okay? Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So make straight the path for your feet. So, you know, I appreciate what Hong Xuan has shared, right? There are times when you don't see eye to eye with your boss. The boss insists on doing certain things, and you have our own principles as to what is right. And you know what? I'm not going to compromise on what we believe in. Why? Why should we compromise? And I think that's important. When you have to make a choice between having favor with men and favor with God, who would you choose? Favor with men or favor with God? And you have to make the choice. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated. What he's trying to say here is that there are certain paths where it is, you know, you need certain healing or there are certain areas where it is weakened. Of course, this is a spiritual imagery. So when you talk about being lame, you know, you are somehow spiritually injured. And if you don't watch it, it could end up being dislocated, which is far worse spiritual state. And that's why it's important, you see. And it's important to find that spiritual healing through the Word of God, through the Lord's work in your life, and you really want to see how God can help us do what is right. And sometimes it takes the chastisement of the Lord to correct us, to tell us, you know what, this is wrong. This is the wrong way of doing things. This is the wrong perspective. This is the wrong approach. Learn. Learn from it. Okay? Now, in verse 14, another imperative. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Okay? Now, what is this all about? Right? So, we want to be able to understand how to approach this. So, he talks about how we need to be chastised and then, you know, to make straight paths. You know, we want to be right. You see, this is the whole idea. We want to be right with God. In all that we seek to understand, all that we seek to do in life, you know, we want to be right with God. And it's important. That's what the author is trying to bring across, that we make straight paths for our feet, right? At the same time, he says, pursue peace. So, at the same time, we want to be able to be right with others. Okay? So, now, this is, of course, in the context of with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, the word pursue is, you know, as I say, another imperative. And the challenge is that we will do the right thing, you know, to be peace, to be at peace. Peace is maintained with everyone, right? To have holiness, to be sanctified. Now, this is important. Important for us. In the context of God, in the context of others, in the church. You know, so when we learn what it means to live and minister with others, we want to do that which is right, rather than wrong. Okay? So, it's important for us to recognize this, and to be able to do things. Now, it goes on to say how we want to be able to, you know, without which no one will see the Lord. The word without seeing, I mean, the idea here is that we will not be able to perceive, to see clearly the Lord as we should. Now, the idea of seeing is something that the author has emphasized quite a bit. You know, if you go back to an earlier part of Hebrews, but we see Jesus, we talked about it, and how it's important to be able to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then here he talks about how it's important for us to do these things in order to see the Lord, to be right with God, to be right with others. How you live your life matters. How you stand before God matters. Even the way in which you can see God. So I think it's important for us to pursue these things, okay? And then we come to verse 15. And he says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be fornicator and profane person like Esau. Well, we'll talk about Esau slightly later, but let me try and explain this part here. There are a number of consequences if we don't learn to look carefully or to look diligently, okay, that we don't oversee. The word looking is the word to oversee or to be careful, right? This is where you get the word Episcopalian, you know, overseer. There are, in America, there are certain churches called, you know, the Anglican Church is called the Episcopalian Church. The idea here is really to oversee, an overseer. That's what a bishop is, an overseer. Okay, that's what this word means here. So it's important to be able to oversee things carefully, to be careful about these things. Now, let me try and explain the first part here. It says, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, what does this mean here? It's not that there's not enough grace. Okay? That is not what it means here. What it's trying to say here is that the grace that is there, we are not availing ourselves enough to this grace. That's what it means here. Okay, because the grace that is given, it's more than sufficient. It, you know, abundant grace has been extended to us. But the problem is that we don't avail ourselves enough to the grace that has been given to us. You know, so it's almost like we are not using it enough, that it has been given in vain. You know, well, of course, one part of it is really 1 Corinthians 15. Let's just turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We see how Paul was able to apply the grace of God. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we read in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Can you see this? That means the grace of God is something that is more than sufficient. And it is there for us to use. But somehow, we don't apply the grace of God as we should. We don't tap the grace of God. And somehow along the way, it is something that we seemingly, as to what he's trying to bring across here, is that we end up, not that the grace of God is not enough, but that we want to avail ourselves enough. Work hard so that you will be able to experience the full grace that God has given to us, that it will not be in vain. That's why Paul labored more abundantly, more than anybody else, because he knew how to tap the grace of God, and he didn't want the grace of God to be in vain. You know, that's how I'm learning too. Now, this week has been an enlightening week. It's been an interesting week. It is a week where, you know, suddenly In fact, not this week, the past 2 weeks. Because Pastor is planning ahead. And there are things that we are already planning for next year. And, you know, it's, even as I think about some of the things that have been or going to be entrusted to the pastoral team, to us, you know, I'm challenged, I'm excited, I'm, you know, suddenly I feel that much more inspired. And yet at the same time, I know that only by the grace of God, I can do the things that the Lord would want me to do. And next year is going to be an interesting year. Part of it will be next year with the YPG, we will be working with different focus. This whole year, in fact, this number of years, we've been having the same focus. But next year, YPG will be divided into three. It will be YPG 1, 2, 3. Okay? And each of the pastors will be looking after each group. And then YG, we will be also having, I mean, we will continue the same, but I will be designing the program and, you know, what is it that we will be looking at. So it will be totally different as how we would approach it. And not only that, I will be also given different or other responsibilities. And, you know, to me, it's been invigorating, really, to be able to say, wow, you know, I'm finding greater understanding of what the Lord has really called me to do. I mean, it will be a discovery, it will be part of our training further in how we want to serve the Lord. But, you know, I'm learning what it means to depend on the grace of God to serve the Lord. How about you? Are we learning what it means to labor for the Lord so much more? Are we learning what it means to depend on the grace of God so much more? That, you know, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. I mean, if we really appreciate all that we have been learning, shouldn't we learn to avail ourselves to the grace of God? Okay? And then in verse 15, he goes on to say, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. How does one become bitter? Eat bitter God. Well, I love bitter God. I mean, any of you like bitter God? Handful. Right? And I love bitter God. I mean, it's bitter, it's sweet. You know, it's so bitter until it's sweet. Yeah. Yeah, you understand, right? I mean, those of you who eat bitter God, you understand. But, you know, it's nice. But you don't want to end up being bitter. How does one become bitter? Usually it is anger that comes first. You become angry. And you don't know how to deal with that anger. After a while, the anger will become bitterness. And the bitter taste is not something that will go away. It will continue to become who you are. Okay? Lest any root of bitterness. You know, it sinks in. It takes root. And then not only that, it grows and it springs up and it will cause trouble. Through your bitterness, you can cause trouble in the context of the church. And by this, many become defiled. See, not everybody is going to appreciate being corrected. So when you are corrected, when I correct you, or when Pastor corrects you, how do you feel? You can feel anger. Ah, Pastor doesn't understand. Ah, Pastor doesn't know what I'm talking about. Why is he judging me? And so on and so forth. You can say the same thing when I correct you. You can say the same thing and you can be angry with me. You can tell me that, you know, Pastor Mark, you don't understand me. You are a man, I'm a woman. But you know, if you are not careful, that anger can breed and it can grow. It takes root, and after a while, it becomes bitterness. You become bitter with me, you become bitter with the pastors, you can become bitter with the church, you can become bitter with everybody. What is the point? So you really want to be very careful about what it is that you allow to fester within your heart. Because you're not careful, it will spring up and it will manifest itself. And you will cause trouble. And you will trouble the church. See, that's why, as the author of Hebrews writes this, and he, you know, going back to Hebrews 12, he brings it up and says that this is how we run the race. We don't want to be caught up with our weaknesses, our the weights and everything else, but we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Great. And to follow his example. And there are times when we need to be chastised. Well, let us be chastised. Let us be corrected. But if you are going to be angry and bitter because of this correction, then you are going to bring trouble to the church, to others. And by this, many become defiled. See, the extent of that bitterness that can bring about and affect many others in the context of the church. So we need to guard ourselves very carefully. Please be very careful. See, when we talk about correction, when we talk about learning, we talk about instruction and so on and so forth. You know, we do it because there is a sense of love and understanding as to why we are doing what we're doing. As I said, Bethany has been, you know, we are coming to 43 years. And this is how we've been doing things all these years, based upon the scriptures, based upon the word of God. But we don't want to end up with people who will not be able to appreciate where we are coming from and to end up causing all kinds of trouble. Okay? Now, then we have this example of Esau. Like Esau, for who for one morsel of food sold his birthright, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, he found no place for repentance. It's not something that is outright all the way, no. It was only at that point in time. Okay? Because we have to understand that Esau also was specially blessed. If you were to just go back to Hebrews 11, verse 20. Okay, verse 20, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. So Esau was also blessed. Okay? Concerning the things to come. So we have to put it in its right perspective. But yes, you know, he did not appreciate what was being given to him, the birthright. He rejected it. And, you know, he, even though he sought it diligently with tears. That's just an example of how you can, you know, end up being profaned and wrong in your approaches. Okay, so we want to be able to understand that, look, when we learn to live our life and to minister together, as we run alongside each other in this race of life, we do it with the Word of God, we do it by faith. And by faith means there is a certain way of doing things. Not the world's way of doing things. Not your own subjective way of doing things. It has to be a biblical way of doing things because it is by faith. Because it is by faith, then there are certain guidelines as to how we want to do things. Bethany has always sought to do things by faith, by the word of God. But not everybody is going to appreciate that. And I hope that you would indeed learn what it means to appreciate that. And that we will learn to grow together. There are times when you raise questions, you interact, and, you know, we give you answers. You know, these are things that are based upon how we have understood our faith along the lines of the Word of God. So it's important for us not to end up being discouraged. I think from a personal standpoint, yes, it's important for us to learn, to change, to be corrected, to be chastised. Let us not to, you know, end up being discouraged, but let us find the strength to say, you know what, let's be encouraged. Let's find the strength to carry on. Let's keep to the straight path for our feet to walk in. Let's learn what it means to walk aright before God and, you know, how we want to live aright with others also in the context of the church. Okay? And it's important for us to not end up, you know, doing things that are not correct, you know, where we do not seek to apply the grace of God as we should. I think, you know, to us, many of us, even as you live your life, even as you serve the Lord, I don't think you have understood fully what it means to apply the grace of God. To, you know, and if we don't seek to labor as we should, then the grace of God in our lives will be really in vain. And we don't want to end up with that. We don't want to end up with bitterness. Don't allow bitterness to affect your life. Learn what it means. If you need to talk about anger or issues that needs to be thrashed out, you know, talk to us. Interact with us. You know, talk to me. More than happy to help you concerning what it is that you are struggling in your life. So that, you know, these things can be addressed. These things can be worked out. And that you will find a greater sense of understanding as to how we want to live our life. And apply the grace of God. Truly by faith. Okay? Well, we're going to go into our groups. So you can carry on, you know, discussing in your groups. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and ask that even as we have learned what it means to run this race, having the Lord Jesus as our example, despite all the challenges that He had to go through, He has set for us an example. And Lord, we recognize there are times we need to be corrected. And it's not easy facing such chastisement. We know that discouragement can set in, but help us, Lord, to find that strength. A strength to follow through. The strength to do the things that you want us to. To pursue the right path. To be able, Lord, to continue. To be at peace with others. And help us to learn to understand the grace of God that has been extended to us. Teach us, Lord, to apply it well. Teach us, Lord, not to end up being bitter with you, bitter with others. Help us, Lord, to learn to deal with these problems. We pray that you will be with us even as we talk to each other and to encourage each other. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.